This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show. Glad you're joining us on this Sunday morning. I'm Jason Laidler here, as usual, with my world-famous co-host, Ted Walshen. Good morning, Mr. Walshen. How are you today, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm very well, too. But I got to tell you, I think I'm still full from last week's Thanksgiving feast.
I know. I did 3 days in a row of turkey, and I don't want to see a turkey for another month.
Well, I didn't just have turkey. We mixed it up with different households. So, you know, we had a prime rib, we had a turkey, we had all kinds of desserts. And I guess because I've been having leftovers for the better part of the week as well, it just feels like it's all just ended recently. And I just think, wow, I need to start walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, around the block.
Too soon.
Now that it's getting cold outside, I should start walking, Ted.
Well, it's a little, it's not cold. It's just colder.
Colder.
Yeah. There's a bit of a nip in the air, but you watch. It'll warm up a little bit. You watch.
Yep. I hope so. I have a motorcycle. I haven't put it away yet because I'm hoping to get at least one, maybe two more nice sunny days to ride on before I put it away for the winter.
Oh, I would imagine so. I mean, meanwhile, we are halfway through October almost. It's the 15th today. Today is the cheese curd day, by the way. And, of course, without cheese curds, there'd be no poutine. And without poutine, the Quebec economy would collapse.
Yeah, and, all the chip trucks in the city.
That's right. Of course, the Quebec economy would never collapse because the federal government would just give them money.
Oh!
They're good for that.
Zynga!
Exactly. It's also National Mushroom Day. You like mushrooms?
Hate them.
What? I don't know what that is. I keep running into people who hate mushrooms. I love
Gross.
Mushrooms.
Gross.
I love mushrooms.
Fungus, you know, man.
My family, we have this great history of this terrific mushroom gravy that we have for Christmas.
No thanks.
Oh, it's just so good.
I'm not like a freak about it. If somebody orders a pizza with mushrooms on it, I can just pick them off. It's no big deal. Sometimes they're in chili. I don't get it, but whatever. I'll take them out of the chili. But no, if I can avoid it, I will avoid it.
What a shame.
I guess.
And meanwhile, staying on the theme of food, today is Emeril Lagasse's birthday. Emeril Lagasse really is, and think about it, in modern times, he is the guy that got the whole food television movement going with his television show that he started. And now, of course, I mean, there's so many big names and, you know, that are involved. And you get Bobby Flay and
the English guy, Hell's Kitchen guy. Is that what you're talking about? Different cooks?
Well, there's tons of them. I mean,
on TV.
The Food Network is the cooking channel.
And Anthony Bourdain.
The late Anthony
Bourdain. The late Anthony. The late great. I love that show. Anthony Bourdain show.
Yeah.
Used to make my girls watch it not because of the food, but because he always dove into the local community and society, and he was all over the world. And I'm like, girls, look at the scenery. Like, he's in, you know, Tibet or whatever, and the food, of course, is incredible, or some gorgeous beach somewhere in Italy and all over the place. The show was great. Yeah. It's a sad story about Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, there's a number of great shows that do that, to travel around in various ways.
They
give you a little taste of the local culture as well as a taste of the culinary culture. So, again, I mean, a lot of that it was really kicked off because of the success of Emeril Lagasse, and then I guess he got into a bit of a riff with the Food Network people, and now he's no longer part of that empire, but he's just still around. And I was just watching him, but I hated it because I was doing the morning show at the time. It used to be on at like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and I'd be sitting there in bed watching his show. I'm, you know, 10 minutes into it, I'm so hungry. First commercial, I rang downstairs and I'm making myself like a grilled cheese sandwich or something, right? But the last thing you need to do is eat 10 minutes before you go to sleep, right?
That's what they say. Yeah. Exactly. Guilty. Guilty. Yeah. Or snack, yeah. I should say, snack.
Coming up on the show, Debbie Stanley, of course, solving the probate puzzle. She's got an event coming up this week in Kitchener. She's going to tell us about that as well, and we'll continue to solve the probate puzzle and find out where she is, because she, of course, is the executor of an estate, and it's big news last week. She got the important papers come across her desk, and things are moving nicely. We'll see if that movement is continuing to flow in a smooth fashion. Also, we're going to talk to us about some meetings you had with some clients and some questions that came up and situations that have arisen.
Yeah, you know, going to go back old-fashioned way. I know we called it the email bag lately, which is we covered in the last segment of the show. I don't think there's an email per se today, but I do have some stories about some recent meetings. So, like I said, it'll be more of a traditional storytelling segment this week about,
right,
you know, real people, real stuff, real meetings, real issues. Well, that's what we're here for every week. We're talking about real stuff, right, Ted?
Yep, you got it. So we'll do all of that and more. So in the meantime, we'll step aside and we'll come back in just a moment. Please stay with us.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hi there, this is Jason Laidler from the Avoid Probate Show, and I'm pleased to say I'm having a quick conversation, to introduce my friend Paul Portman from Portman Law, who is a regular contributor to the Avoid Probate Show. He's one of the lawyers on the team at avoidprobate.ca. Paul, how are you?
Good, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're one of the lawyers on the team because you have an expertise in law, specifically in what part?
So I specialize in estate law, litigation, and bear trusts. I do quite a bit of work in that area.
And I'm glad you mentioned bear trust, because we often talk on the Avoid Probate Show about how a bear trust can help avoid the probate on property, correct?
That's right.
And it's widely misunderstood, but it's something that you're able to help our listeners figure out and avoid the probate on their house, cottage, commercial property, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how does it work? Like, in a nutshell, the way the bear trust is set up, tell us real quick.
Yeah, so a bear trust in a lot of ways is like any other trust agreement. The major difference between a regular trust agreement and a bear trust is that the bear trustee doesn't really have any powers in relation to the trust. They can't really do anything other than what's explicitly in the bear trust agreement. And the bear trust agreement doesn't say anything other than they're holding legal title.
So really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a tax event. It just simply avoids the probate nightmare.
That's correct.
Okay, and if listeners want to contact you directly, I mean, they can always reach you through us at avoidprobate.ca, but if they want to contact you directly, the best way to reach you is what?
They can contact me by email at paul@portmanlaw.ca. That's PORTMANLAW.ca. Or they can contact me by telephone at 647-527-5878.
And it doesn't have to be a bear trust question in particular, any estate question, you can help them out, correct?
That's right.
All right, well, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been a guest on the show in the past, and hopefully you'll be a guest in the future, and we will continue to work together to help all the listeners at AM 740 Zoomer Radio who have any estate planning questions. They can call Jason Laidler or they can call Paul Portman directly.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
We are back, and it's the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Walsh and Jason Laidler. And a reminder, the information provided in this program is for general consumption only. It's not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation is different, so if you have legal or investment questions, you should speak with a licensed expert. We have many on hand, and you can contact us so we can contact them. info@avoidprobate.ca. That's the email address, info@avoidprobate.ca, or toll free 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628. 667-7628. And just a reminder, when you're wagering on Avoid Probates, know your limits, and please drink responsibly. And it's time once again to solve the probate puzzle.
Must be football season.
I said I'd throw that in. Yes, it is, actually. We're 6 weeks into it already.
And hockey season.
Hockey season as well. That's right. The Leafs still opened up last Wednesday. So anyway, back to the show, solving the probate puzzle. Debbie Stanley joins us. But before we get to the latest edition, I understand that you're speaking at a very special event that your company, ETP Canada, is sponsoring this coming Wednesday.
Yes, we're very excited to be part of an event called The Power of Planning, and it will be at Memory Gardens Funeral Home in Kitchener by Arbor Memorial. And we're actually co-hosting it with the Ontario Ministry of Finance. So we are really excited to be a part of this event. It is a free event for any listeners who would like to attend. There's a light dinner included, and you will be hearing from the Ministry of Finance in regards to the estate information return, what's included, what's not, what is estate administration tax. And then I'm following up with all the hard-hitting questions for the ministry. I'm not sure if he's fully aware of that, but we're going to discuss what it's like to be an executor and what it looks like after you filled out that estate information return and all of the things you may need to consider if you have any changes, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Actually, I should mention, it's on October 18th, like you had said, Ted. And if you do want to register for the event, you can phone 519-648-4065 and ask to speak with Joanna Faea, and that's at Memory Gardens, and it's a free event and dinner's included.
And that information is all available on the ETP Canada website, right?
It's on the website and it's all over our socials as well. Hopefully okay. Easy to find.
Excellent. Well,
Debbie, good luck with that. I would have a slew of questions. We talked about this briefly before we went on the air. And good luck getting these questions through, and good luck getting the answers to the questions. And maybe what we can do, if we're lucky, is we can convince this representative from the ministry to make an appearance on the Avoid Probate Show.
That would be fantastic.
Corner him or her and make them answer the tough questions. That'd be awesome.
I will work on my best charm that
okay.
night to see if we can have this representative on the show.
Well, I'm glad you're there and not Ted. So maybe we'll get a chance. No offense, Ted.
I had my feelings surgically removed years ago.
Okay. So what's going on with Roxy Moo's probate file, Debbie? Is there any news? We had big news story last week. It's hard to top that one.
I was going to say, I'm not sure how to talk last week's news, such as receiving the certificate of appointment as the state trustee. That was a big feather in my cap. And I now have this magic wand, as you like to call it, Jason. And in fact, I think the next time I'm in the studio, I'm going to bring a wand with me.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yes. So this has now prompted us to move on to what I like to call the next phase of the estate, or phase two, which is the liquidation of the estate. So when we pass away, we have these assets, whatever they may be, bank accounts, condos, physical assets, they all need to be sold depending on the terms of the will. And we won't go too far down that rabbit hole, but generally, you have assets that need to be sold so that the money can go to the people that are named in the will, also known as beneficiaries. So in this particular case, I'm turning everything into cash, or I'm trying to. So that I can give this cash after paying all of my bills and income taxes and everything for the estate, then I can give it to the beneficiaries of Roxy Moo's estate. So that's where we left off last week, was I have the certificate of appointment and now what? So we have sent off the certificate of appointment to all of the people that need it. So for instance, the financial institution, they will need the certificate of appointment so that they can show their estate department that yes, Debbie Stanley, in fact, is the executor of this estate, and she can tell us what to do. That's basically what it is. However, remember how we talked about this digital certificate of appointment and not everyone's familiar with it? So we hit this little roadblock yet again on this estate. The financial advisor for the estate of Roxy Moo has never seen a digital estate certificate. That person has never seen one in their life. They've only ever seen paper ones. So we're now getting pushback from this financial advisor saying that they need the paper one. And we are saying, no, the digital one issued by the Superior Court is valid, and we've even sent the instructions from the Superior Court to this person, and we have said, please just pass it along to your estate department, because this is a very large financial institution that we've dealt with before. Their estate department is very much familiar with this process. So if we can just get past this person, we'll be fine. However, this person is our gatekeeper, and we're stuck here because they have it in their head. No, I need a paper copy.
I have a feeling they're not going to be the gatekeeper for long, Debbie.
I'm hoping not. It's a little bit frustrating when you know you have all the valid documents and someone who has never had the experience of that document telling you that it's incorrect, and you're trying to educate them on the process. You've sent them all the legal paperwork, the notice from the court. You even had a lawyer weigh in and say, look, we can't print a paper one because that alters this document. It's a digital document. You can't verify a paper document. And we're still stuck on, well, it was always done this way. And I'm sure you've heard terms like that before. It's always been done that way, but it doesn't mean that that's the way it's done now.
For sure. Yeah. Well, it's only a matter of time for sure before this advisor, you know, realizes the error of his or her ways. Their, like you said, their estate department will set them straight. A manager or somebody else at the establishment, at the institution, will set them straight. And I guess they'll chalk it up to learning something. Well, that's okay. Well, it's good when we learn stuff.
Absolutely. And I really wanted to highlight this for our listeners, because maybe listeners are also encountering this. They might have a digital certificate as well, and they might be getting some pushback. And I would just like to say to our listeners, keep reiterating it. You do have a valid document. It is a digital certificate of appointment. It's a valid legal document. Please keep pushing. Don't give up. We're here for you. We're rooting for you. But I thought, if I'm dealing with it, I guarantee others are also dealing with it.
Okay, let me ask you a specific question then. I mean, I know now that you've got your magical powers, you're going to start, like you said, selling stuff and distributing stuff, pooling the assets to begin with, of course. Did Roxy Moo have a RIF?
Did Roxy Moo? Yes.
Okay, so a lot of our seniors will know what a RIF is. Sorry, a lot of our listeners will know what a RIF is. And we've said before many, many, many times that that's an example of a registered account. The first R in RIF stands for Registered Retirement Income Fund. And so we've said that you can put a beneficiary on registered accounts. So let's assume that there were, and you can confirm or deny that, right? But
yes, there were.
And there were probably the two children, right?
Correct.
50-50. Yes. So can you please, like in 20 words or less kind of thing, I think the listeners would really like to know, what does that look like now? Because the kids, called kids, I know they're not children, but you know what I mean? The beneficiaries of the RIF, they don't get the RIF. So just because you've left the RIF to the kids, right? They don't get it. A spouse can receive your RIF. There's special rules for that. If you're married, and you leave your RIF to your spouse, we can just like change the name on the plan. Simple as that. Right. That's an oversimplification. But your spouse can take the RIF. There's rules for that. It doesn't get taxed. It doesn't get sold. But you can't do that with anybody else except a child with special needs. There are again special rules. Like Ted says it all the time in the show, two or three times, I think, when you're talking about referring to experts, because every situation is different. We can't emphasize that enough. Every situation is different. But I want to be in some generalities, if you don't mind, and I'm being long-winded here. What happens to that RIF now that you can sell it and there's kids named as beneficiaries? The listeners would like to know.
Okay. All right. Well, it's funny because I actually wrote a paper on this, what happens with registered investments upon death. So I'll have to send that to you, Jason, for your reading pleasure, because
do.
I don't think many people have read it.
I would love to read it. And by the way, listeners, I put Debbie on the spot with this question. We did not rehearse this. She didn't know this was coming, but I know she can handle it.
Yeah, well, let's see how well I handle it. But in this particular case, there is a RIF, and there are named beneficiaries on it, which are the children. So it's not because I'm now the executor that I have the magic wand over this RIF, because there were named beneficiaries. They were able to start the process before I had my certificate, because I have really no jurisdiction over an account that has named beneficiaries. So hopefully that makes sense. However, what does that look like when you have named beneficiaries with a RIF account? first of all, they may not know that they're the beneficiaries. And in my particular case, the children thought that they were the beneficiaries, but they didn't know for certain. So we had actually looked at the investment statement, and on the second page of the statement, it listed who the beneficiaries were. So from there, we had a good idea, unless something had been changed just before death. We notified the beneficiaries, and we were a part of the conversation with the financial institution because the family wanted us to be. We provided all the paperwork to them, death certificate and contact information. And from there, because they're not children with any special needs, then it can't go to them in the same form that it was held in. So to make it simple, if it was a, you know, a pop can, you can't just hand them the pop can, right? You can only do that with a spouse. You can hand them the pop can, or you can hand the children the pop can. I say that because I have a can on my desk. So we're using that as our example.
Okay.
Now, when we have these beneficiaries, that pop can has to be dissolved into cash so that the children can receive the proceeds of that pop can. So it's no longer in the form that it used to be. It's going to be everything inside of there sold. The account will be collapsed and checks will be sent out to those beneficiaries for the proceeds of the account. Now, the funny thing about naming beneficiaries, it's great. It's absolutely great. But there's tax implications, especially for a RIF account. RIFs can be very expensive. And Jason, I see you nodding your head.
That was my next question. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very expensive investment account to collapse if it's a very large amount. So if we think of our RIF.
Well, even if it's not that large, it can still be very, even if it's 50 grand.
True.
Which I would say is not that. It doesn't have to be six figures to be very expensive in terms of taxation, because it's on top of everything else, right? It's on top of the rest, all the other income.
Exactly. And I should clarify, when I was thinking not that large, I was thinking, you know, $500. Okay. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Even 10,000 can make a huge difference on someone's income tax return. So if we think of, and this is like, you know, the 101 very quickly on taxes, but when we contribute to our RRSPs, we receive a tax credit for that. So if I made $100 that year and I contributed $50 to my RRSP, then it helps offset the income tax that I would have paid because it reduces how much I, you know, earned, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So you receive that credit up front. And then when you go to liquidate the RIF account, which is just an RRSP converted over, when you start drawing out of it, taking the income out, $100 every month or whatnot, that's now income. Right. And you have to pay tax on it because you never paid tax on it before. You got the credit for it. Now, the issue when we pass away is the government says, well, when we die, we can't take our things with us. You had to have gotten rid of everything you owned on death. So when Debbie Stanley passes away, I will have gotten rid of everything on that particular day, including my RIF account. So it looks as though I withdrew my entire RIF account on that one day, which bumps your income quite high and could throw you into a very high tax bracket. Now, the issue is, and it's not an issue, but I want people to be aware, when you name beneficiaries, remember, they got those checks without really any more consideration to the taxes. However, when the income taxes for the deceased are prepared, there's going to be taxes on that RIF account. So a good executor will do some cash planning. They'll start working with an accountant very early on. We start working with an accountant probably within the first 6 weeks of death, just to start getting an idea, especially when there's a RIF, how much tax might there be. And this was a very long rant, and I tried to make it in 20 words or less, and that was probably 200.
Well, you're doing great. It was a tough question to wrap up in a few words, but yeah.
It's not as simple as it seems.
it's certainly not. And that's really why I thought it was worth taking the extra few minutes to explain it to the listeners, because it's all the time we're talking about, yep, put beneficiaries on the registered accounts. That's the easy part. The problem is the non-registered money, where you cannot name a beneficiary. We'll talk about that before the show's over today and what the solution looks like. But I just thought, because you're doing this right now in sort of quasi real time, we might as well explain to the listeners, like, what does the RIF look like? What transformation takes place now that it's being liquidated with beneficiaries on it? And you made a point really well. I would have never thought to use a pop can in the analogy, but it works. So yeah, I'm glad you said that. it's got to change its shape. It's got to become cash, and tax consideration has to be made for sure. Because like Debbie said, the whole thing is treated as income. So unless you have an offsetting deduction to offset whatever $100,000 of income tax, which it's possible, but not likely, then there's going to be tax payable and the executor is on the hook for that. So mm-hmm. Debbie's absolutely smart, of course, in her use of an accountant to do tax planning right up front in consideration of this future pending tax bill to the estate. It's not to Debbie Stanley. It's not to the executors either, right? The executors get their inheritance tax-free. A lot of
beneficiaries.
Thank you. A lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people will ask me, well, how much can I leave my child before they pay tax? Or how much tax is my child going to have to pay? There's a lot of confusion about the tax status of inheritances.
Yes. Although I'm going to add a caveat to that as well, because we get asked this quite a bit at ETP Canada. If I receive funds from an estate and I invest them, does that mean it's still tax-free?
Yeah,
and no, no. So as soon as you start earning money with any money that you have, if you've received $100,000 from an estate and threw it into an account held with Jason and it starts earning money, you're going to pay income taxes on that. So while your inheritance is tax-free, what you do with the money may not be tax-free if you start earning income off of it.
Exactly. Same with your kid's kid and your kid's kid's kid. And
yes.
Your third cousin twice removed and Ted Walshin. It's all the same.
Right. All of it, yes. And one thing to add on, and I know we're probably running really low on time, but in this case, for the estate of Roxy Mu, we have the same beneficiaries no matter what. We have the same children for the RIF as the beneficiaries. And as a part of the estate, they're the exact same beneficiaries. However, that's not always the case.
Good point.
Might name different beneficiaries on the RIF account, and you might have different beneficiaries in the estate. And guess what? The estate's paying the tax on that RIF account. So sometimes this causes some rifts within families because you have different beneficiaries paying for the income tax of a different beneficiary's inheritance. And that
Did you say it causes rifts within families?
Yeah, that's true. Yes, rift on the RIF.
Rift on the RIF.
There's a tongue twister. Yes.
There you go. This is the name of your next article, Debbie. Rift.
That's a good one. I'm going to pin that one there.
You can use that. I'll let you use it.
Yes. But I think that's where engaging with professionals like yourself, Jason, if you're thinking of having different beneficiaries within your estate and your your registered accounts, you should discuss this with a professional to see what the implications are.
That's under the umbrella of what we call estate equalization. And there's a whole topic of conversation there for sure. But well said and well noted. Absolutely. It is a very important part of estate equalization.
It's a very formal term. I like it.
Very formal term. Lots of options and combinations and permutations there, often involving life insurance, not always as a solution. But okay. Yeah, we went long on the update this week, but that was good stuff. Thank you, Debbie, for providing that very important information. And stuff, remember, let's assume like a lot of our listeners are hearing this for the first time, because unless you've been through the process, even as a passenger, unless you've been through it in some way up front, close and personal, you don't know this and you can't know this and no one expects you to know this. And that's why we're here today on the Avoid Probate Show and today and every Sunday morning, trying to explain this stuff to listeners, to give them a heads up, to give them an idea of what's at stake, to show them there are solutions around these problems, and you got to speak to the right people to help you navigate these solutions. And we're here to do that for you as much as possible. So thank you, Debbie. How can listeners reach you for more information?
They can reach us at 1-866-309-0387. Our website is etpcanada.ca. And they can send an email to info@etpcanada.ca. And if you're looking to take a course, there's also executorready.ca.
And if they go to your website, they'll find out the information about your presentation in Kitchener, is it?
Yes,
Wednesday afternoon.
Wednesday, October 18th, yes.
Along with the Provincial Ministry of Finance. So enjoy that. Enjoy your week. And we'll chat again next week.
All right. Thank you very much.
We'll step aside and be back in a moment. More of the Avoid Probate Show. Stay tuned.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
It's time to gear up for fall with cool weather fashions from the very cool Kensington Market. Hey, it's Ted Wallace in Fort Tom's Place, where you're invited to check out the latest fall fashions that have just arrived. And since it is Tom's Place, even the new arrivals are on sale. Fall colors, new patterns, fresh designs, designer slim fit suits sold elsewhere for as much as $600, start at only $179 at Tom's Place. Check out Tom's fabulous collection of S. Cohen and other designer suits. Regular, three for $1,200, slashed for radio listeners to $1,100. Pick out a couple of sports jackets. Selected sports jackets are now 50% off, plus selected dress and casual pants, 50% off. Play it cool at Tom's Place, 190 Baldwin Street in the heart of Kensington Market. Tom's Place will suit you.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. It is the Avoid Probate Show. And just a reminder, you know, we talk about every once in a while, we talk about road shows that we do, and we go to different communities and service groups, whether it be the Lions Club, whether it be we were at the Catholic Women's League a couple of weeks ago. If you'd like us to come up to your community, we should do so. There's absolutely no charge to you. All you got to do is contact us and let us know, and we'll see if we can fit you into the schedule. And you can contact us two ways. Of course, our email address is info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca. Or give us a call toll-free, 1-844-667-7628, 1-844-667-7628. And we'll talk to you about coming to your community.
Yeah, we'll fit you in. There's no doubt about it. So, and it's a good laugh, too. It's a lot of fun, right, Ted? We always there's a few chuckles. A few questions, or maybe I should say, put it this way, a few answers people weren't expecting to their questions, because we call it like it is. So anyway, okay, I got to move on real quick. We don't have a lot of time for this because we went a bit long with the Roxy Moo update today, but that's okay. It's all good stuff. We often are here on the Avoid Probate Show talking about the solutions and also talking about changes that take place in the legislation with regard to estates, to speak broadly. You know, probate is a state matter, an estate matter, and the estate rules are always changing. And I found this article just going through stuff, and it summarizes some of the recent changes. And I thought, okay, this is pretty interesting. We've talked about some of these things before, some in-depth, some not so in-depth, but I thought this is a pretty good summary. I'm not going to get through all of them today. But, you know, for the benefit of the listeners who didn't hear us talk about it before, this might pique some interest for you. It starts off by saying that estate law continues to evolve and major legislative changes in Ontario have taken place that may affect your estate and wealth planning. All right. So that's hopefully doesn't come as any surprise that it's an ongoing process. The Ontario government introduced Bill 245, the Accelerating Access to Justice Act, on February 16th, 2021, not that long ago, which received royal assent on April 19th, 2021, again, not that long ago. Some highlights from this Accelerating Access to Justice Act, it's a mouthful. Separated spouses are now treated as divorced spouses. Let me say that again. Separated spouses are to be treated as divorced spouses. Why?
How long?
Hold on. I know, okay.
People get separated and they separate for 2 months,
yep.
3 months, and they
good
get
question.
Back together. So, I mean, if you separate, I mean, is it like the day after you separated, the day after you moved out of your house, are you now considered divorced?
So, even though you're jumping ahead, I'll answer your question, Ted. They lived separated and apart for 3 years as a result of a breakdown in marriage.
Okay.
So that's a pretty good test because you're absolutely right. People are back and forth, but here the test is 3 years. So great question. If at the testator's death, the testator, by the way, the estate owner and the person who wrote the will, if there is a will,
If at the testator's death, the testator was separated from his or her spouse, the separated spouse will be treated the same as a divorced spouse. Okay, that's what I said in the title at the start a few minutes ago. Therefore, gifts to a separated or divorced spouse in a will are construed as if the separated or divorced spouse has died before the deceased spouse, and any appointment of a separated or divorced spouse as an executor under a will is revoked.
But if you, for example, have a life insurance policy and you have no children and your wife is the beneficiary of your insurance, your life insurance, and you separate, but you separate and 3 years later, legally, you're considered to be divorced, but you don't remove her as the designated beneficiary. She still is the beneficiary, even though you're legally considered divorced.
Absolutely correct. You are correct. Okay. She's still a beneficiary. Because don't forget, what this is saying, is that, I mean, if you were divorced and you left her as the beneficiary, she stays on as the beneficiary. This is saying if you're only separated, it's the same thing. Because now they're treated the same.
Right.
So it goes on to say that separated spouses would also be excluded from inheriting on an intestacy. So in other words, when there's no will. Half the married couples out there in Canada, in Ontario, in Zoomerland, half of them don't have a will, in roughly, according to the numbers. So if separated spouses will be excluded from inheriting under an intestacy. Further, separated spouses would also be precluded from making a claim under the Family Law Act in Ontario for equalization of net family property against their deceased spouse's estate. Something a married spouse could do before, even if they were separated prior to death. So this is a big change, a significant change. We're not going to get into the details of it right now. I just wanted to highlight it for you and for the listeners who maybe weren't familiar with it. I'm sure we probably you got more questions than answers so far. Yeah, there's more definitions here. Like Ted was asking about the amount of time they're separated. I'm not going to get into these other definitions, but I do want to highlight, you know, extending these rules to apply to separated spouses and not only divorced spouses is significant, as you do not need a formal divorce decree for them to apply. So that's something that I think is interesting. You don't need a formal divorce decree. The other thing I want to talk about real quick, I'm going to run out of time, marriage no longer revokes a will. It's long been standing in Ontario that a will is revoked on marriage, revoked, canceled. On marriage. This section of the Succession Law Reform Act will be repealed. Therefore, marriage will no longer have any legal effect on the will, and spouses will need to consider updating their wills upon or in contemplation of marriage to avoid dying with an out-of-date will. That has long-reaching effects, and give that some thought, listeners. Once again, marriage no longer revokes a will. We can talk about that if you have questions. I don't have time to get into the details today, but always there's stuff changing. You're going to hear it when it happens. We're going to share it with you and explain it to you. But right now, we are out of time for this section. We're going to come back with the mailbag right after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
A diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease or dementia for you or someone in your life can be challenging. You don't have to face it alone, especially when help and support are so close at hand. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario can connect you with experts, education and care, valuable resources, and people who really want to help. Connect with us. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario at ourconnectionsmatter.com.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
We have returned, and we're glad that you have stuck with us. We appreciate you being here with us, and we appreciate you sending in your questions, by the way. And you can do so, or your comments, even if they're negative, we're okay with that. info@avoidprobate.ca is our email address. info@avoidprobate.ca. Toll free, the number to call is 1 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628. And don't forget, if you go on our website, you can check out the probate calculator, give you an idea how much money you might have to pay on the estate that you're handling. And also, too, there's a little button that says listen to the show. And if you do that, you can listen to past episodes via podcast. Podcast is really just a way of saying we have this recorded. And so it's there for you at your leisure. So, again, it's www.avoidprobate.ca. That is the website, www.avoidprobate, avoidprobate is one word, .ca, Jason.
Thanks, Ted. And I'll steal a bit of Colin's thunder, I guess, since you mentioned the shows being available on the website. Also on the website, as Colin was mentioning, our new social media guy who's been on the show the last couple of weeks. He's not with us today, unfortunately, but he will be probably next week. There's also a button to register to receive the podcast. When we say podcast, I hate mixing up these terms. The radio show, once the show is finished airing on Sunday morning, becomes available as a podcast. It's the same thing. So you can click, you can register to receive the radio show in your email, by email, every single week, along with some other information and newsletters and things like that. So we encourage you to do that, register, then you'll never miss a show. So right. that's what Colin probably would have said better than I did if he were here, but he's not. Anyway, let's talk about some mailbag stuff, because I had a couple meetings I thought I'd share the experience, different meetings, different situations, of course. They're all different, like Ted keeps saying. Recent meeting in Uxbridge with a lovely gentleman. So shout out to our new friends in the Uxbridge area. Uxbridge is beautiful, by the way. And, you know, it's a municipality. It's also a village. So there's the village of Uxbridge inside the municipality of Uxbridge. That's a little confusing, but boy, a pretty, pretty place to be. And why I'm mentioning this particular meeting, you know, we talk about our consultations being no charge, and this person had called in to request the consultation at no charge. So we get to do a bit of fact finding on the phone to get a bit of an idea what the lay of the land is to prep for the meeting. And it sounded to me like in this particular case, it was going to be helpful, particularly helpful, if one of the lawyers on the Avoid Probate team was at the meeting. So I'm not the lawyer, and I've said that before, and I don't pretend to be the lawyer. So when I think there's going to be heavy content or heavy need for the lawyer, we'll just bring him to the consultation. And I said that over the phone. I said, you know what? I can't promise anything because I don't know until I check with the schedule. But, you know, if possible, I'll bring the lawyer, one of the lawyers, to the meeting that, at the date and time that we've just scheduled for. And I heard a little bit of a pause on the phone. And at the other end, I hear, that sounds expensive. I said, no, it's a free consultation. So how cool is that? You know, you book us, and depending on, you know, what we need to talk about, of course, the gist of the conversations revolve around probate and avoiding probate and moving, transferring assets from the bank to the insurance company as part of the solution to avoid probate, as well as dealing with the probate on the house. And that was the main goal in this particular issue in Uxbridge. This gentleman had a couple adult children and grandchildren, and was very concerned about passing. I'd even call it a little farm. It was a small farm, I guess, but how to pass this on to the next generation. Not so much tax efficiently, although probate is a tax. You can say that. We refer to it as a death tax sometimes. 1.5% of the total value of the estate on the date of death, you know, the last tax you'll pay, sort of thing. But yeah, so I wanted to make that point that the lawyers that we refer to, they're real. They are real people who help us day in, day out with the legal part of the solution here at avoidprobate.ca. Often there's wills that need to be drafted for the first time, or perhaps redrafted because they haven't been drafted, they haven't been revised for 40 years or whatever. That's all the work that the lawyers do in their offices, you know, and that's important to understand, that we have this service built in. It is available. And if it's needed, and it's not the first time. It's not the first time I've asked one of the lawyers to come to the meeting. And if they can't make it, they can't make it. But they understand, like, there's value in being there and value in sitting across from the table. And who doesn't like free legal advice, Ted? You know, so
exactly.
Use us. Pick our brains. You know, book us for a consultation. We're happy to come to you. Or if you insist, we can meet at the office in North York. I don't like going into the office in North York. It's boring. I'd rather be on the road and be out coming to see you at your place where you're comfortable. That just makes my life a little bit easier. I can, you know, stop off here.
It's a lot easier, I mean, as you pointed out to me a number of times, Jason, because sometimes you have questions that require answers via paperwork.
Yep,
exactly. And when people come traveling to see you, the odds are that they're not carrying all the paperwork that's necessary. They may not know that, but if you're at their place and they say, oh, well, let me get that, it's in my den, right?
Yeah, exactly. Happens all the time, Ted.
Yeah.
All the time. So, okay, that's the one story about... Yeah, and so we are, by the way, going to proceed with the work of a bear trust to avoid the probate on the farm, a small farm in Uxbridge, so that when this gentleman passes, his children won't have to deal with 10 months of probate or whatever the case may be before they can sell it. You know, we've talked about this 100 times. If the property of mom or dad's house has to get probated, your hands are tied. The executor cannot sell it until they receive that certificate that Debbie Stanley referred to that she just received last week when she returned from her vacation. And so you cover the costs, the maintenance, all the expenses that go along with it, the hassle of not being able to utilize the proceeds from the sale for another 10 months. If you're going to pay off your mortgage, well, you got 10 more months of mortgage payments to make until you can pay it off. If you're going to buy a property for one of your children, it's going to be $50,000 more 10 months from now. Right, it's probably not going to go down in price. It's going to go up in price. That kind of thing. All these abstract but real costs associated with the probate problem. You know, it's hard. You think they're abstract, but they're legit. They're there, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Okay, I want to talk about one other meeting I had recently. Maybe two, depending on time. Probably just one. Yeah. So another client passed away. Ted, very sad, of course. A lovely old gentleman who I've actually known for a long time, grew up in the same town, so to speak. Shout out to East Quillenberry. East Quillenberry is the township bordering Newmarket on the north. So Toronto, well, York region, Aurora, Newmarket, East Quillenberry, and then Georgina, and then you're in the water at Lake Simcoe. That's a quick geography lesson for the listeners. So I knew this gentleman for a long time, and what happened was one of his adult children called me up, and he organized the meeting with dad and one brother. A third sibling couldn't attend the meeting, and long story short, we moved the non-registered money. Dad had some non-registered money at the bank in town where he did not have a beneficiary on it, because you can't, and so that was the easy part, and we took care of that. Dad had a house. He'd been in for a long time. And yeah, that's basically it in a nutshell. Dad passed recently. So I had to get a copy of the death certificate, one other form signed by one of the boys, submitted to the insurance company. Boom. The money that we moved, the non-registered money that we moved, was paid out in short order to all the children. No problem, no fuss, no hassle. It was interesting. I got some follow-up, though. The lawyer who was working on the case for Dad, according to the one son, was asking for more summaries, more summaries, more summaries. I'm like, well, I don't understand. What does he want summaries for? These accounts, this money that paid out directly to the boys, to the children, because they were named as beneficiaries, they've got nothing to do with the estate. So I was a bit confused as to why the lawyer was even going there. Anyway, I provided a summary. You want a summary? I'll give you a summary. Whatever. But what I'm getting at is, I mentioned that Dad had a house. We did not use. We talked about the bear trust to avoid the probate on the house for Dad. And it was something they were going to think about it. And boy, I hear that a lot. You know, that the bear trust isn't free. I've mentioned that before. It's probably about $5,000 for one title, for one property. So that's all there was in this case. In other words, there wasn't a house plus a cottage. There wasn't a house plus a second house. It was just one house. And that's about $5,000. So unfortunately, they are having to probate the house. And the one son who's been in communication with me told me the lawyer's estimating that it's going to cost about $14,000 in probate fees. Okay, well, again, it's a simple math calculation, but it's more than a math calculation, right? $14,000, you spend $5,000, save $9,000. Did I do that right? No, save $9,000 if it's $14,000. Spend $5,000, save $9,000. But not just that, right? Because I mentioned there's a lawyer. That lawyer's not working for free, of course. And now there's a time value of money factor in there. How long is it going to take before dad's house could be sold? We talked about this with the other story I mentioned in Uxbridge. Same factors, ongoing expenses to maintain the home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's always sad, Ted. I've said this before when one of our clients passed away, but at the same time, I kind of see it as a success story, right? Because the boys, we didn't avoid all of the probate. That's not uncommon, although it is possible sometimes, but usually we're in the middle somewhere. And that's what happened here. We got the non-registered money moved out of the bank. The boys have money in their pocket right away. And that could be very helpful because I don't know what the other costs or expenses. I mean, I guess there was a funeral, things like that. But at least there's money that was liquidated, almost not instantly, but very close, within weeks, to help with the expenses that you have to deal with when somebody passes away and you start to sell their estate. The funeral being the most obvious, but certainly not the only one on the list. So it helps. You can help the kids simply. And I say this sometimes when we meet in those no-charge consultations, it's not an all-or-nothing proposition. So we moved the money. We didn't avoid the probate on the house. That is common. Just wanted to thought I'd share that story. And shout out to our friends in East Gwillimbury. I don't want to name the actual hamlet. But yeah, it's a beautiful part of the country as well. Okay, so a couple of real live situations to describe to the listeners. Please call us if you're interested for one of these consultations. If you think we need to bring the lawyer, let me know and we'll do what we can. But we'll leave that for the mailbag for this week. Ted, can you tell us about your latest podcast?
Yeah, well, we like to have on the program a couple times a year as we change into new seasons. David Phillips, he is a senior climatologist for Environment Canada. So he's going to give us an idea of what lies in store for the fall and peeking into the winter as well across the country, not just here in Ontario, but right across the country, because, of course, the podcast is available worldwide. We don't really talk about the world weather, but we'll talk about what's going on here. And he's also got some really interesting insights into the climate change situation. I mean, there are people who are climate change deniers. There are people who believe that, we're about to experience some glacier melting and we'll all be underwater in a year and a half. And then there are people like Dave Phillips, who's in the middle, who's very sensible, very knowledgeable, and we got a really good conversation. I had a real good conversation with him about climate change. So that plus a look at the weather forecast, courtesy of Mr. Phillips at Environment Canada, and the podcast is available right now wherever you get your podcast from, and you can very simply get it by access it by going to my website, which is www.tedwoloshin.ca. That's tedwoloshin.ca, and the podcast is there. In fact, every show that we've done in the past 2 years is available for you to listen to as well. Thank you, Dave. Or Jace.
Good stuff, Ted. And I've heard that interview with Mr. Phillips in the past. Not this one you're talking about that's fresh, but you mentioned you've had him on before.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, and he's so easy to listen to. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, he's got a terrific attitude about things. You know, he's very, very, very knowledgeable.
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. Well, that's going to bring us to the end of another episode of the Avoid Probate Show on this Sunday morning. We're here every Sunday. If you just joined us late, hopefully you'll join us next week on time. We'll start just after the news, about 8:05. We'll talk about things related to probate and the solutions that are available to avoid what we call the probate nightmare. Got to give thanks out to a few people, including Kelly, our awesome producer on the other side of the glass, for taking care of us and keeping us on track as usual. Thanks to Ted Walshin for his decades of radio excellence. Debbie Stanley gave us an update. Thanks to her for that. this week. And thanks to you, the listeners, for tuning in. Like I said, hopefully you'll join us again next Sunday for the Avoid Probate Show. We'll be back right here. Ted, see you next week.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening, and enjoy your week.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.